This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast about the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we're taking a look back at a pair of medal-winning performances for the rowing teams at their respective national championships. Plus, head coach Peter Steenstra puts a bow on the season. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The women's rowing team competed at the NCAA Championships for the 17th time in the last 18 seasons when they traveled to West Windsor, New Jersey last Friday and Saturday. On Friday, both the first and second varsity eights placed runner-up in their heats, advancing directly to their respective grand finals. Then on Saturday, the 2V placed fourth, battling tricky conditions on Mercer Lake, and the 1V earned a bronze medal with a third-place finish. Combined, the two crews scored 44 points, good for a fourth-place finish and a spot on the podium. First-year coxswain Hannah Herbst led the Bates 1V to their first medal at NCAAs since 2022, and she is our female Bobcat of the Week.
You were pretty emotional, obviously, after the race. This is your first NCAAs, your first year. What were your emotions crossing the finish line?
I was really surprised. It was a very tumultuous race. Definitely due to weather, but also just there were a lot of things happening around us. But I was so happy and also really sad because my stroke is a senior, my 6 seat's a senior. So it was very bittersweet, but I'm so proud of every single person and my boat and what we did.
Take us through the race. Tumultuous, obviously. I mean, there were some waves and everything. What was it like?
Yes. So in terms of weather, the first quarter was pretty good. The first 500, honestly, even before that, 250 down, it started to pick up in terms of wind and then chop and waves and all of that. It was definitely just a battle. Blood, it was in the water, there was everywhere. There's a lot of things happening. We were pretty much in contention off the line. And then 500 in, some boats started to pull away. We were in fourth place for about until the first 1K, and then we pulled even with Wes and just walked them to the line and then walked up on Williams as well, which was really nice. We ended up being very close to them in the end. We executed our race plan. We did exactly as we intended and had planned, and it was a really special, excellent way to close out the season.
Yeah, to get a medal at NCAAs as a first year, what does that mean to you?
It's awesome. I'm so happy. I definitely didn't go into this season expecting anything in terms of what boat I was going to be in and then how well that boat would do, but it makes me so excited for the next 3 years to come. And also I'm really proud of Greta, who's another first year in our boat, a new addition, and I'm so excited for what we're going to do together.
You mentioned your stroke seat, obviously Hannah Burdick being a senior, and there's a number of seniors here. What's it like to have them leave on this note?
Yeah, I said bittersweet earlier, and I think that's definitely still true. I'm so happy. I mean, throughout this whole NCAA's experience, a lot of our main conversation has just been we're so lucky to be here. We weren't sure that we were going to be here, and I'm just so proud to be here with all of them, and this was an excellent way to close out my time with them, I'm sure their time on the team, and also just our season as a whole.
As a first year, what do you learn from your first year of collegiate rowing as a coxswain that you're going to apply next season perhaps?
I mean, I've learned a lot about the other teams. I definitely have a personal vendetta against some of them now. But yeah, I think I've just learned this is such an awesome place to be. I mean, I'm standing here staring at the Princeton rowing tent. And I mean, D3 rowing is just such a special place because you're right with all the D1 schools and the big programs. And the beautiful thing about D3 rowing is everything is always changing. And I'm so excited to be the change that we were this year and just to keep that momentum going.
All right, Hannah, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Bobcats head into the summer break looking forward to building on their success from this year's campaign. After the races were all over, we caught up with one of next year's captains, rising senior Isabel Martin.
Your first trip to NCAAs, yes, as a junior, what was this experience like for you?
It was really cool. I definitely spent the past 3 years sort of listening to many of my teammates talk about it and the experience and what it means, and it was really cool to get to see it for myself and be there with everyone.
And since you're going to be one of the captains next year, what was this experience like in terms of gaining this experience so you can be a leader of this team next season?
I think it was really cool. I mean, it's a wonderful experience, an awesome environment. And one of our captains last year had experienced it, and the other two hadn't. So it's really cool that they got to experience it, and they just did a wonderful job leading throughout the whole year. I think it's cool to see just sort of the peak of what we hope for next season as well, to have something to look forward to and be able to bring that back with lots of experience on the team to talk about it when it's cold and the river is frozen and all of that.
Take us through the race today. It was a little choppy out there, right?
Yeah, it was pretty choppy. It was a little windy. It was kind of raining at the start. Felt a little bit like home, familiar, not super warm, which is good for me personally. I don't like when it's too hot. And then we did our start. We executed our race plan. I think we did as we set out to do. Rode our race, played to our strengths, and it was good.
Bronze medal for the first Varsity 8. What does that mean to you?
I think like pride is the first word. I'm just really proud of the whole boat, everything that we did throughout this year, and the whole team, and all of the girls back home. Like, just the entire team has done a lot this year and worked really hard. And I think the bronze medal at the 1B is a reflection of the entire team more than just the 9 of us in the boat.
One of the cool things about this particular regatta is it's Division 1, 2, and 3. All the schools are here. What's that experience like to see, you know, the other schools like, you know, Washington and Princeton and stuff like that?
Well, Washington's really cool as a hometown team.
Yes.
I'm rooting for them personally. Yeah. but yeah, it's awesome that there's Olympians. And I know the guys have told me before, like, it's really awesome to go to IRAs and you see all these guys that just got back from the Olympics and whatnot. And that's just cool to see all these celebrities and whatnot. Think, you know, women we idolize and we get to race on the same course in the same place as them. So I think it's an awesome experience.
Being from Washington, how did Bates get on your radar for college?
You know, I wanted to go to a small school and I wanted to go somewhere where it snowed and it was far away. Which I love home, but I just wanted to experience something new. So it snowed and it was far away and it was a small school and that kind of checked the boxes.
Great. And then obviously this is a good step up for the program. What's the next step you think going into senior year? You know, you got fourth overall this year, but obviously room to grow.
Yeah, I think just carry through. You know, we had lots of good momentum throughout the entire season with the whole team and bring that, as Coach talks about, the view from the top and just sort of remember what it feels like to be here, remember our goals for next year and bring that through now that we all have that to share.
Great. Any other thoughts you wanted to share about this regatta?
I think it was a great experience and, yeah, very proud of our team.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
On the men's side, the Bobcats compete at the IRA National Championships in Camden, New Jersey on Friday and Saturday, about 45 minutes away from where the women were competing in NCAAs. The first Varsity 8 won their heat on Friday and placed third in the D3 Grand Final on Saturday, good for their second bronze medal in the last 3 years at IRAs. Meanwhile, the second Varsity 8 won the Petite Final and the Varsity 4 won their semifinal. Just like the women, the men's teams' 2-8s combined for fourth place at the regatta. On this week's episode of the Bobcast, we're joined by sophomore first Varsity 8 coxswain Darian Chang and rising senior stroke seat Luke Demijan, who will be one of the captains next year. Well, Darian, as a sophomore, last year you got a chance to cox the 2V at IRAs. This year you got a chance to cox the 1V. Tell us about the experience this year, maybe compared to the previous year, and what was it like to take home a bronze medal?
I mean, it was definitely a great experience this year. I think, you know, the group of guys that the 1V was this year, you know, they really bought into everything that I said, and, you know, we worked really cohesively as a group, and I think it was overall a very, like, it was a fantastic experience, and I love the guys in the boat, and I couldn't have, you know, asked for a better crew. Us getting a bronze medal at IRAs, I think that's kind of the outcome of just having the entire group buy in every day and kind of make those little changes to get better.
And Luke, I mean, what was it like to, you know, return to IRAs for you?
Yeah, really good. It's always a real privilege to be able to make it and extend our season. Yeah, similar to Darian, it's just like a fantastic experience all around. Like, really just a really, really hardworking and like very positive group of guys. Really just worked very, very well together. And it's, like I said, just awesome to be able to finish off with a really like positive result.
Take us through the two races. I mean, the first one, you guys won your heat. And the second one, it was some interesting conditions out there, wasn't it?
You know, I thought our heat was one of the best races that we have had all season, if not the best race. Conditions were awesome. Water was super flat. And, you know, we were just really able to execute the race plan from the get-go. And in terms of the final, maybe I'll let Luke talk about that one. But
you race with the conditions you're given. And I think, if nothing else, the conditions in the final were sort of emblematic of the conditions we've had all season. Yeah. Just to say, maybe biblical in some ways. But I was really happy. You know, I think everybody really laid down their best, you know, their best effort. At least I agree with Darian. I think the heat was really, might have been the peak of our of our rowing as a crew. It sucks that we weren't able to fully, I think, put together the best piece that we could have in the final. We sort of maybe didn't have the exact, it didn't go exactly the way we planned, partly because of the conditions, partly because, you know, it's the biggest stage of the year, but it's all right. It was good.
I mean, it was what, choppy waves? I mean, from a coxswain's perspective, how do you adjust when things are going maybe a little sideways?
Well, I think, you know, none of us were really expecting it to be that bad. We kind of got hit with like a, I don't know, like some sort of like thunder cell or something. But I would say the waves were pretty much rolling. They were kind of just like rolling over the riggers and kind of hitting, you know, the blades, and everyone's hands were smashing into the riggers. I think, you know, as a like mid-race, it's definitely hard to adjust the style you're rowing, but kind of something that you try to implement is like having a bigger tap down and clearing those waves with your hands and like letting your blade stay above the water. And, you know, it's something that's definitely very, very hard to change while you're, you know, mid-race.
Yeah, Peter mentioned the strategy had to change.
Yeah, we sort of wanted to go into it with, you know, it's a championship race, and it's the biggest race of the year. Yeah. And so the expectation, regardless of what has happened throughout the years, everybody's going to go out really hard. And that was true, and we wanted to be up there with everybody. And I think our goal in the first sort of K was to really be in it and challenging for the top spot. And I think I think everybody did that. The power was certainly there. The conditions were just like a little bit of a limiting factor. I think we were maybe a little bit off the pack at the beginning. And so we sort of, I think, mentally reverted to what we did all season, which is to say, you know, climb back through everybody and have a really, really strong middle and end of the piece. And I think the result there is sort of a testament to our race plan and how we got on this year.
And Luke, you're a future captain of this team. What's that like? What are your thoughts on, you know, the summer and leading into the fall now being one of the leaders here?
Yeah, I think one thing I'll say for sure is that the quality and speed of D3 rowing changes every year. It gets better, it gets faster. And what I'm really happy and proud to say is that like we're one of the crews leading that change. You know, my freshman year, we managed to pull out a third at IRAs as well. And then I think last year we really felt the effects of those changes, only making fifth in the IRA final, which was frustrating, but I think is a lot of the reason that we felt so much urgency this year. And that's really exciting. What I think is really encouraging as well is that this result doesn't feel like it felt the last time. I'm cautious about saying that it's a disappointment because, you know, we medaled and it was a great result and this is a fantastic crew. I will say, though, that that was not the result that we think we could have gotten. And I think a lot of the program feels that. And so the reason I say that that's encouraging is I think there's really a fire in everybody's stomachs right now. I think we're on for a really, really positive next year. I think everybody's really driven, very motivated. Of course, the challenge is maintaining that feeling throughout the summer and into the fall, and especially through the winter.
Yeah, Darian, I mean, you're going to be a junior next year. I mean, you're hungry for more, too, it sounds like.
Definitely. You know, I resonate with everything that Luke has said. You know, I think the fire has really been lit in a lot of the guys, and I think, you know, we're really just going to try to carry that through into the summer, the fall, the winter, and just, you know, when it's springtime, it's time to execute. Like, we're all gunning for that top spot. Like, I hate to keep saying it, but, like, everyone is super, super pumped to keep going.
Well, I was going to say, like, men's rowing has never won a national title at Bates, and for part of that is because there wasn't a national title to win for many, many, many years. Now there is. So how much is that a motivating factor to, you know, make history?
I think make history is maybe the wrong, okay, or not the wrong way of looking at it, but not certainly not the way that we're approaching it.
Okay.
To put our names on something that says, you know, the first Bates men's crew to win the national title, but ultimately this isn't a materialistic team. We're here to, you know, Coach says this is like we're here to make good people better. And part of that is certainly striving to win a national title. And we're going to maintain that culture.
To wrap it all up, here's Bates head coach Peter Steenstra.
Well, Coach, we talked before the two regattas, and we talked about kind of the balancing act you were going to pull. A little bit less than you expected because the time changes, but how'd it go, you know, overall, you know, seeing your two teams perform this weekend?
We were lucky in the sense that the weather was enough of a disruption at both regatta sites that at least I was able to make it to, I think I was at almost every race. So that was, you know, if you're going to find your silver lining, there it is, right? But it was nice to have a Saturday that was far more relaxing than I thought it would be. It was very full, of course. I had to be at the, which side was I in the morning? The women's side in the morning. So we were there quite early and got through all that and had some time and still were able to do the medals stage and all that. So that was good and wrap things up there and then get over to the men's side and be able to be present for all that. So that was pretty good. I was happy about that.
And let's start with the women's races. Obviously, you know, both teams got straight to the grand final, so no repechages. And then I understand the 2V, because of their lane position, they ran some chops and win. Take us through their race, kind of. They were able to get fourth, but they could have almost gone third or possibly even second, right?
Well, they were in second place up until maybe the 500 or 600 to go. There's, you know, this is not any sort of excuse or shade on the other crews. You know, Wesleyan is very good program and they were a good team throughout the year, so we knew that that was going to be a real challenge. We knew that going into that race, that being in that lane two, being on that left side of the course, it's known for having that. If the wind is just right, you know, you're getting all of the chop and the lumpy water, but you're not getting the little added push that comes from that wind as it comes around that corner. You know, the point is that if we had the fuel and if we had the power to get there, that wouldn't even be a problem. But that's the way that these races have been this year. They've been tight. So half a second this way or that, and that's the difference between second place at NCAAs and fourth place at NCAAs. So that's the reason we're there. We're there to race the very best and put our best effort out there. And I know that those women did that. So I'm very happy with it.
And the 1V got the bronze medal there at NCAAs. And, you know, in their heat against Tufts, they were within a second of them. And then in the final, they were very close to the two crews who were ahead of them, including Tufts, who ended up winning. But take us through what you saw from the 1V.
Yeah, that heat, some would look at that and say, boy, why did you push that so hard? Well, I think that what they really needed was to gain that confidence from a really good, hard race against Tufts. Would we have finished third otherwise? Who knows? Maybe would we have been any better off if we had reserved some fuel for the next day? I don't think it would have changed a thing for us on the following day. I just think that if anything, we gained something from doing that, knowing that we were going to be involved in the medals, knowing that we could race with the top crews that were going to be there. Maybe we just woke up the Tufts boat and gave them enough of a rattle that they realized that they had to pull themselves together and really put down a good piece the following day, but which they did. So now I'm very happy with what they did. When you go from sitting in this room in the team room at the boathouse and really sweating it out, wondering if they're gonna see our name on the screen, to meddling at the national championship, I'm very pleased with how this team did.
And then, you know, I was talking to the 1V, you know, future captain, Luke Demijohn, and then Cox and Darian Chang. And they were disappointed by the final, but still got a bronze medal, second one in program history. But, you know, take us through what you saw from them, because they had their best race of the year possibly in that heat, right?
They did. They had an outstanding race in that heat. A lot of things were unfortunate about that final race. Things that were out of their control. They handled the conditions, I think, quite well. Everyone had the same game plan, which was the water's going to be flat in the first 500 and it's going to get progressively worse as you go through the race course, so you need to get as much of a lead as you can. Every single boat did the exact same thing. Well, that's not our strong suit, because we don't have the biggest and most powerful guys. Our strong suit is the body, and if you rewatch the video, you see that we're fifth or sixth off the line, and then we end up rowing through all but two crews. So the exact same system that we've always had is what played out, our strength was the same thing it always has been. And in a case like this with a massive tailwind, is we are at the disadvantage because the body is our strength. So we actually want the race to stretch out for as long as possible. And that's what didn't happen. It was a very, very quick race.
And it was, again, more waves and stuff. I noticed stuff. I noticed the wind, certainly.
Well, look, when you even have the number one ranked D1 program that's full of, you know, junior worlds and world athletes from California catching overhead crabs, it puts them into the petite final.
Wow.
Right? This is like that whole basketball, you know, the 16th seed
yeah.
beating the number one. That's exactly what happened. Oh. So the grand final went off without the number one team in it.
Wow.
And that was because of those conditions. Mm. And those conditions, when that happened, weren't as bad as the conditions we were racing in. Some of my words fell on deaf ears around the regatta site and with the regatta organizers, but that's just the way it is. You know, there's only so much you can fight about.
Yeah, your race was the last race of the day there, and just got it in, it looked like, right?
Just got it in, but then you here we were an hour and a half later, and the conditions were much, much better. So.
Okay.
Now, why we couldn't have delayed a little bit in order to have a more fair race, you know, who knows? You could argue that it was fair. We all were in the same yep. stuff, so sure, it was fair in that sense. But we want to highlight our sport and not put the worst of it out there. You know, the NCAA course, whatever, 50 miles away, they delayed everything until 7 p.m. They were still racing after 7, whereas we really felt the need to wrap it up at 4:20 or 4:30. So it is what it is, and I still say that without this sounding like a woe is me tale, the guys really did perform well.
Mm.
I know that they are a little bit stuck on the fact that Tufts got in front of them for that second spot. But, you know, it was a good race. It was a bunch of guys that were just pulling their brains out and working through the conditions as the best they could. And the top boat did prevail. Trinity was by far the best crew in Division III and in the NESCAC and you name it. They were by far the best and they deserve it.
So now, obviously, the climb begins again, right? You talk about the metaphor of climbing the mountain. So what's your main message to both crews here over the summer and coming into the fall here?
The main message is usually the same. We say goodbye to our seniors and we welcome our incoming first years. And the idea is to pass down the fact that we know how to get up the mountain, but the path is different every time. So we have to grab a hold of these new folks and lead them up and tell them that, you know, we know the way, come with us, but it takes all of us to do it. And the closer we get to the top, we end up reducing the travel roster down to what ends up being just 20-some people. We call that the summit team, and that's, you know, 11 months away. So that's what's next.
Are we going to have an overlapping problem next year? Or?
The weekends will be the same, but the men will be in Sacramento, California, and the women will be in Lake Lanier, Georgia.
Georgia, okay.
Georgia, yeah.
Okay.
So I don't think I'm going to be able to drive back and forth this time.
So you'll be watching one on your phone.
I'll be watching one on the phone.
Yeah, well, any other thoughts you want to mention about the season so far? Obviously, a bounce back year for the women and the men continuing to grow as well.
If there's a message, it's that what we're doing is working. And it's tough with the limited coaching that we have because it's just three of us.
Yeah.
We get to have some help here and there, but we want to continue with these large rosters. I love having 4 and 5/8 worth of people on both sides. And what that does require, though, is for any of those future Bobcats that are listening, potential future Bobcats, you got to show up here prepared for that. You got to be an adult when you get here. We can't spend 4 years trying to turn you from an 18-year-old person into a 25-year-old person. You've got to be an adult when you arrive, and you got to know how to work on your own.
All right, Peter Steenstra, thanks so much.
Thank you.
With the IRAs representing the final event of the 2024-25 school year, this week is the final episode of the Bobcast until the fall. But don't forget, keep an eye on GoBatesBobcats.com as we'll be announcing the inaugural class for the Bates Athletics Hall of Fame very soon. Thanks for tuning in all year to the Bates Bobcast. Thank you. Thank you.